Hey everyone, and welcome to Divination Episode 8. Divination is a podcast and YouTube show by Elegant Themes, a leader in the premium WordPress theme and plugin market. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller. Our topic this episode is creating a customer care-centered business. So far on the show, we've had a lot of different types of people who have created and run successful businesses with WordPress and Divi. Each of them has had their own specialty that has helped to set them apart. Some have been designers, some developers, some a mix of both. What we haven't had yet is someone who specializes in customer care, which is why I'm proud to be joined in this episode by guest host Nathan Duval. Nathan is a customer service specialist living and working out of Greenville, South Carolina. He's built and launched two WordPress businesses, GruffyGoat.com, his design company, and ElegantChildThemes.com, where he and some collaborators create and sell premium Divi child themes. In both of these operations, Nathan has created teams that balance each other's strengths. This has allowed him to personally focus on what some might consider the less glamorous but essential area of high-quality customer service and support. Nathan and I had a great conversation, and I'm excited to share it with you. So, here it is. Nathan, welcome to Divi Nation.
Thank you, Nathan, for having me.
That's not going to get confusing at all, right?
Not at all.
Yeah. I appreciate you making time to come on the show. I understand it's a pretty busy time for you right now.
Yes, sir, it is. It's been good, though, man. I've been blessed. So much going on, and it's been fun to be a part of. And I want to thank you, you know, for having me right after Melissa, SJ, and Gino. No pressure there and getting ready for this interview.
Yeah, no pressure at all.
Everybody loves those guys, and everybody be like, who the crap is Nathan Duval, you know? And why did he name his company after a goat? My gosh.
Hopefully we'll get into that a bit later as well.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, I know we've got a lot to talk about today. You want to just jump right into our first segment of This Week in WordPress?
Let's do it.
This Week in WordPress, two articles caught my eye. I sent them ahead of time to Nathan so he could read them and we could talk about them. Article number one, how to run a side project. This is a screenings case study. This article was written by Sasha Grief and published on smashingmagazine.com. In it, Sasha talks about how if you work on the web, side projects are your secret superpower. Side projects allow you to create and share work that is 100% your vision, to make a mark on your industry, within your niche, or simply as an area of interest that you're fascinated with. As I understand it, Nathan, that's more or less how your WordPress companies came about, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I was able to connect with a lot of what he was saying in this article. It's been my own trajectory, you know, and how what I've done to this point. So it's really kind of cool to see that in what he had done too.
Yeah, and in this post, he provides a few guidelines for launching successful side projects, and I wanted to get your take on them. The first one is they need to boil down to the three S's. They need to be simple, specific, and special. What do you think about that? Has that been true for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for the first one, simple, you know, up until just recently, I kind of tried to do it all, and, you know, finally came to the realization that I just really needed to get back to what I do, you know, simplify things. Mm. Like you said at the beginning, I'm not a developer necessarily. I'm not a designer. I like to do both things, but I don't claim to be an expert in either. So, but for me, it was just more about simplifying, getting back to the basics and, you know, not trying to be all things to all people and, you know, trying to just focus on what I do best and try to outsource some of the rest, you know? So I kind of, that simple one, that first one there really kind of, that's been my pattern so far.
Nice. And the second guideline that he gave was something called the 10-hour rule, which states that your project should be ready to launch after 10 hours worth of work. Otherwise, you risk either never starting or never finishing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, man, that's some great advice. I wish I had read the article, you know, 3 years ago before I wasted months and years. But, yeah. You know, it's something, you know, time. It's just so hard to budget, especially when you have kids. I know a lot of people out there in the Divi world are like me, you know, you've got kids and, you know, I got a 9-to-5 too, which mm-hmm. is probably, it's unusual, I guess, for most people you've had on your show are just full blown entrepreneurs now, you know, doing it freelance. And, you know, but when you got two little boys running around like I do, you know, they're throwing books in your lap and you're trying to balance everything. It makes it difficult, but man, if you can stick to that 10-hour rule and really just budget your thing, you know, take it slowly mm-hmm. and really budget your time better and just, you know, kind of take it more natural instead of just diving in and just blowing your whole schedule to pieces, trying to get everything done.
Yeah.
It's still tough, man. Yeah. Especially with family and everything else, you know.
Do you have any other guidelines you've had since you've had to go through, you know, a couple different projects that you've tried to launch?
Well, I kind of took this 10-hour rule unknowingly. So with this last project, the elegantchildthemes.com, of course, I worked with it on my team. I have two designers I work with, and they really helped me out a lot on it, too. So it was easier to budget time for that kind of stuff. So, you know, kind of naturally, it just kind of took a little bit more slower process and kind of naturally just kind of fell into place. So we didn't have to stress over timelines and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we kind of just got together before we even started the project. I guess this one thing we could talk about is, you know, you kind of set your goals and set your overall objectives for what you're trying to do. And for us, you know, that was, you know, trying to, you know, what we were bringing to the table was quality child themes that were going to be beneficial to the community and also to use on our own projects too. So we kind of had those objectives, and that's what we went into wanted to do with this whole thing. Yes. And that's kind of, you know, what it's ended up being. So it's still a work in progress, but it very much followed that 10-hour rule thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. And I think, you know, a lot of people would be surprised at how successful something can be on just 10 hours or even less, depending on, you know, for instance, somebody may have done, you may have done a project or a website for somebody, and you're like, you know, if I take certain elements of the last five projects I've done, I could have a killer child theme. And the process of taking those things and put them together may not take that long, even though they represent a lot more time and effort. And all of a sudden you've got a side project, you've got a product that you can sell. And yeah, I mean, it's didn't take you that long to put together.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what I've found to be the case too.
Article number two, reputation. This article was written by veteran WordPress developer John James Jacoby and published on his personal blog, Jacoby, that's JOCO.BY. In this post, Jacoby shares quite candidly about his experiences working with, as well as parting ways with, others in the WordPress community. He expresses his personal concerns over how the perception of those events may have affected his reputation. He ends the post with a thought on how one might establish and retain a good reputation without obsessing over it, and that is to focus on ethical output. Nathan, what were some of your thoughts after reading this article?
You know, honestly, the thing that I took away from it maybe wasn't the overall view he was trying to push necessarily, but kind of how he ended the article. You know, someone that accomplished still has doubts about their reputation. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a very, very pretty well-known person in the community.
Yeah, someone reads that whole article, they're going to find his kind of resume of companies he's worked with and projects he's been a part of.
Like, holy crap, yeah. And somebody like that, you know, still, you know, somebody that accomplished still struggles with that reputation thing. That's huge to me. It speaks volumes. And but if you look at the comments, it's kind of cool. People were reassuring him that his reputation was awesome, and that he was great, and they loved everything he did. And I thought that was kind of funny. So, you know, I think we can be our own worst critics at times. It's you know, I know I can be.
Yeah, and I think that is encouraging to know that, you know, everybody has to worry about this, and everybody's probably a little insecure about it. So, you know, on that same token, most people are not going to be so hard on you because they're worried about themselves. So they're not grading everybody else as harshly as you're grading yourself. But
right.
I do love the endpoint that he ends on, though, which is the ethical output note, which I took to mean as do good work in an ethical way, because just doing good work is not necessarily always enough. Like, you have to do it in a way that you're not, you know, you're not breaking rules, regulations, or screwing other people over. You know, there's a lot of different things that can affect someone's reputation. You know, speaking to the good work, you know, you could have great quality, great speed, great design, great marketing, et cetera. But if you're caught acting out unethically within your community towards workers, customers, or even your competitors, you're actually going to do some serious damage to yourself.
Right. And while on social media is everybody's worst enemy at that too. I mean, everybody can follow what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, clients will look you up too on social media. So you just got to be very careful these days. I mean, your reputation will precede you if you go the wrong way.
Absolutely. What are some things with your community activity with Divi and your two side projects that have almost become full-time projects, even though you're having to squeeze them into side project time slots. What are some things that you've done to build and protect the reputation of those projects and you yourself within the community?
Yeah, naturally, I'm kind of with my, and we'll get into this in a little bit, but support has always been my thing. It's just, I expect it when I go to a service provider, I expect good support. Mm-hmm. In today's day and age, it's rare that you get that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, going into these businesses, these side projects, I swore that I was going to offer great support no matter what I do and no matter how hard it was to, you know, kind of keep up with at times. Because, I mean, it can get crazy with all the emails and phone calls. And I mean, especially when you get all that stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But if you can just take the time to respond to somebody quickly within 24 hours, even, I mean, that will blow people's mind. And it has for my clients, you know, they're just impressed that I will just take the time to respond to them. Whether or not I have the answer right away is beside the point, just that I took the time to respond to their request or whatever they have going on. So that's been the biggest thing for me.
Absolutely. We'll definitely get into that more later on.
Yeah.
But for now, that's all for this week in WordPress. If you're interested in reading the articles we discussed, YouTubers can check out the video description for links, and everyone else can find the show notes on our blog. Just go to the community category in the right-hand sidebar and check out the posts for Divi Nation Episode 8. The next segment of the show is where we get to know our guest in a little bit more detail and pick their brain on this episode's main topic. Our guest host today is Nathan Duvall, and our main topic is creating a customer care-centered business. Let's dive in. So, Nathan, I'm interested in hearing your story. It's you even pointed this out a little bit ago, that you're a bit unique among the guests that we've had on the show so far, in that, you know, you've seen success in your WordPress and Divi-related businesses, to be sure, but they're not actually your day job. You don't have to tell everyone where you work, but I think everybody would be interested in knowing what the connection is with your day job and how that affects what you do in WordPress.
Yeah, it's kind of been this weird, unnatural just progression into this whole freelance stuff. I've worked with a small group of developers, actual developers that do not to diminish anybody else out there, but do .NET, C#, you know, the hardcore guys.
Yeah, yeah.
They still have the big old books with the library and all that kind of mess. So anyway, those are the guys that I've worked with for the last 12 years, and I've done application support. I've been the front end guy. They write a whole bunch of custom software for the apartment industry. That's kind of who we're after.
Okay.
And so I do their frontline support. I have for the last 12 years. And it's just, like I said, been a natural progression into carrying over what I do there into my freelance stuff. So, yeah, and I've done, in addition to the support, I've done some UI design too.
Okay.
And, so I picked up a lot of skills just, you know, over time, learning from those guys, seeing what they do, and picking up a little bit of it myself.
Awesome. I'm particularly interested in the work that you have been doing with Gruffy Goat. I see you got your goat mascot up above you.
Yeah, man. I told my little 6-year-old he would get some FaceTime today. So
that's awesome. I was wondering if you could tell us the origin story of the Gruffy Goat brand and company, and that could maybe kickstart our conversation about how you do customer care.
Yeah. A lot of people start from the beginning. A lot of people ask where the name came from. Honestly, he's a little mountain goat that my little guy picked up at a petting zoo back when he was 2 or 3 years old. And he loves the story of the three billy goats Gruff. Oh, okay. And so a lot of people ask me where the name came from. We used to reenact it. He would read it, let me read it to him all the time. And that's where the name came from. So I'm all about keeping things personable. And we'll get to that later too. But that's kind of the origin of where the name came from anyway. And, as far as my journey into Gruffy Goat, it kind of, you know, just to back up a little bit, I started playing with WordPress, you know, around 2008 when I just had WordPress.com, it's a blog. Mm-hmm. And, I started tinkering around with .org shortly thereafter, picked up a Woo Themes subscription, competitor, I know, I'm sorry. I picked up a Woo Themes subscription, started blowing apart their themes and just seeing how everything was kind of structured and laid out. And, it taught me so much. You're just kind of doing that, tinkering around, just with my own blog site. That's all I was doing, was just my blog. And, fast forward a couple of years, This is getting a little odd. I know you have a cat. I think I just saw him darting across the screen there. I don't know if you ever heard of cat groomers.
No, I haven't.
Yes.
Wait, cat groomers? Like
cat groomers? Yes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't used one before, but I know that they exist.
Well, a friend of mine who is a creative director of a small agency down here, his sister-in-law started the National Cat Groomers Institute of America.
What?
Yeah, that's the thing. Believe it or not. So yeah, no joke. People from all over the world, China, Japan, Australia, England, they will come from all over the place to learn how to groom cats from her. So he would come into the school and he kind of created his own little business here. He would teach them how to start their own businesses, how to go back to wherever they lived and start their own cat grooming businesses or dog grooming or whatever they want to do. And part of that spiel was how to have a successful website, how to market yourself. And so anyway, that really blew up for him. And over time, he got so busy that he kind of just passed it off to me. So that was my first, those are my first clients for cat grooming clients.
I know
talk about a weird niche. Yeah. Totally is. But man, they've been great clients. It's funny, but that's kind of where I started, and you know how I got involved with website stuff and starting clients and all that. So
you've evolved quite a bit since then, it seems, because you're not really now. It seems like you have a very deliberate process. You have a very deliberate way that you approach both attracting clients and managing the clients that you have. And that's really something I wanted to talk about, which is, you know, you do design and development, of course, but in a lot of ways, the real thing that you're selling, the real value that you bring, both figuratively and literally, as the Gruffy Goat brand, is your customer care and support.
Right.
And I noticed as I was looking over the website, you know, there are a lot of ways that, you know, if you're looking for it, like I was, that you can actually see that dedication to customer experience, both before and after, you know, the purchase points. And I'd like to start talking about customer care specifically by talking about the ways you try to create customer experience before a purchase is made.
Yeah, it like I said, it just kind of came about naturally. The site kind of has progressed over time. Mm-hmm. It started out a little rough because I didn't know what I was doing or I was trying to offer everything and it wasn't me. And I was trying to pretend to be somebody I wasn't. And trying to pretend to do the agency thing and just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So this last iteration of Gruffy Goat, it was just all about getting back to what I do and explaining that. It was more about the content more than how it looked. And, you know, for me, my whole business is structured around, you know, being a partner to my clients and an ongoing resource to them, not just the, you know, smash and grab web design, you know, you're out the door. It's about, you know, kind of winning that customer for life for me, which is kind of a different, I don't know, maybe a little bit different journey for me than, you know, your typical entrepreneur, freelancer, whatever. But, you know, kind of, you know, just to give you a good example, you know, a good example of that is the first cat grooming client I had. She's actually still with me today. And it's been cool. She, you know, kind of tested out a lot of stuff on her. She was my guinea pig, but she's got 3 sites with me now, and all with a support plan. I offer a support plan called Lifetime Support. Just another way to kind of cue in on this is more than just website. You know, I'm going to be here. I'm going to answer your emails, whatever you need. You can email me anytime.
Yeah.
But like I said, she's got 3 websites with me now. I'm getting ready to add a 4th, all with support plans. And, honestly, I don't think it's as much of the website that has done it. It's more the convenience that she knows she can email me at any time and know it's going to get done.
Yeah.
And, for me, that's kind of how I took that whole experience and to bottle it up. That's kind of how I re-envisioned, the current Gruffy Goat site. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of that journey I take people through of, starting from day one, you know, what can I offer and, getting them through to that website stage and then offering them that lifetime support to, you know, take that to the next level and be a resource to them going forward in the success of their company.
Yeah. That's something I wanted to talk about next, which is, you know, I think the other area, besides creating a customer journey that gets someone to the point where they're ready to buy, once they're on board, you have a really specific process that you walk people through. And yeah. The first stage of that process is called listen. Can you explain what happens in that stage?
Yeah. Another thing, my background is, in college, I was a counseling major. So it's another thing that kind of just took its natural progression, I guess. Something I like to listen to people more than talk. Doing something like this is way outside my comfort zone. But, that's honestly my first step. And I mean, nobody just takes the time to shut up and listen anymore. I mean, everybody wants to talk. Everybody wants to get their point across. But if you'll take the time to listen, I mean, you'll quickly earn your client's trust. And, you're not just going to be a service provider to them. You'll be kind of an irreplaceable extension of, you know, their business. So, yeah. That's been a huge step for me. And again, just something that came naturally to me, but I mentioned it on the site just because it's very important to me.
Yeah. And, you know, when I looked at the description of what you do during that stage, you know, it's not that what you're actually accomplishing in that stage is anything groundbreaking or new,
no.
But framing it as this is my time to listen to you is really different than what most other people do, because most other people, whether intentionally or not, the message the message that gets put across is right. This is where you listen to me be an expert on this topic and tell you what you need. And that might actually happen in your case at some point down the road, but the first step is listen. And I think people really, you know, I can imagine people really appreciate that.
Well, you got to take into consideration too who you're going after. I mean, I'm dealing with small mom and pop shops, nonprofits, ones that, you know, have limited budgets, mm-hmm. and I'm cool with that. I don't want to go after the agency stuff. I'm not competing with them. So you're different. You're dealing with a very different customer base there, and kind of the expectations who I'm dealing with, they just want somebody to listen to them. They want a great looking site, and you know, they want somebody to be able to email or call or text whenever they need something going forward. So it's very different. I mean, it may not work well for the big agencies or whatever, but it works for me.
The rest of your process consists of three stages: plan, design, and deliver. How do you keep customer care and experience at the forefront throughout the rest of that process?
Yeah, I mean, it's about being responsive through that whole time frame, being able to listen to, you know, what they want to do with their site, and kind of sketching that whole thing out in that plan process, and you know, throughout the design process, same way. I kind of structure my whole site and plan template around, you know, what their overall goals are, what they mm-hmm. want to achieve, and who their customer base are, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know, it's still about listening throughout that whole process and being responsive to whatever it is they're trying to achieve and their goals.
Cool. So from what I understand, up until the point that you deliver the website, you know, you've actually, because, and we said this earlier, but just to point it back out to everybody, you collaborate with a team. You know, your focus is, you know, some front end development and then primarily the customer care and like guiding people through this process. After that process is over, you personally continue to use your customer care and support skills to retain those clients with your hosting and your support packages. Can you maybe talk for a little bit about what that process looks like, what the ongoing support process looks like, and why providing those services have been a good move for you?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I call it lifetime support. And for most people, it's, you know, what they call their maintenance plans. You know, in addition to the regular maintenance stuff, you know, like your hosting, your domain services. I do plugin updates. I use WP Engine for everything. So okay, I'm not doing a ton there. It kind of manages itself for the mm-hmm. most part. And I use main WP to kind of do some of those plugin updates. So I'm not, you know, when I say I'm doing a whole lot of that stuff during the month, it's actually really not a lot once you have it all set up. Mm-hmm. So basically that whole lifetime support thing, in addition to that regular maintenance stuff, is me responding to emails or texts or whatever. And, you know, again, being responsive. Yeah. And that's that lifetime support. And it's been a huge, huge selling point for me. I was talking to somebody on one of the forums the other day, and they were saying how they don't care if the website that they build for their clients breaks or not after the fact. And I'm like, I just don't understand that mentality, I guess, because it's just a bad attitude to take. I mean, if you're setting your clients up for failure from the time you deliver the site to them, you're doing something wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah. And that goes back to the reputation talk we had earlier.
Exactly.
You're really shooting yourself in the foot if your websites are breaking and no one can get a hold of you or get fixes or just get a response.
I mean, if you're just, if you're on freelancer.com or something like that, I can understand. But I mean, if you're trying to set up a long-term a business and that kind of thing, you got to look past the day-to-day and see, the long-term value of your client. So, which has kind of been successful on my end of things too.
Yeah. And we've actually talked a lot about, we've mentioned that this has been successful for you, and we've talked about a bit about what you do for customer care. But for those out there who maybe don't see the business end of it, they're like, well, I already do good work and I don't really see how going crazy on the customer support and care is going to actually improve my bottom line. Talk a bit about the business model of this lifetime support package and what that's been like for you and,
Yeah. For me, it's my thing. It's what I love to do. So like I said, it's been a very natural progression and just offering it. But, for a lot of people, if it's not your thing, partner with somebody who loves the support. I mean, it's going to be, I guess, difficult to find some of us. But
I guess what I'm talking about specifically is not just deciding to offer it, but but seeing the business value in it. So like, what do you charge? What are the payments like? How does that build up over time? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, definitely. When I first started offering back, again, with a cat client, I started it back from day one. Back then it was $25 a month, which that doesn't translate for very long, So I, once I added on WP Engine, which, isn't the cheapest thing out there, but I had more stuff and more services to offer just in doing that. And so the price point went up to, my base now is around $50 a month, and it includes, hosting, includes that domain. It's basically, I bundle everything up into one package. Mm-hmm. So they're only paying me for anything they need website related. They're not having to remember to pay the GoDaddy bill or whatever.
Yeah.
It's everything is just with me. I take control of that for them. So, that's a value add to them too. And, it has evolved for me over the years too, as far as what services I offer with different packages. I have three different ones, kind of a basic, a popular, and e-commerce. With e-commerce, it's around now $100 a month. And again, I'm doing very, very similar things in each of those, but I'm able to offer a little bit more, custom tailored stuff with the e-commerce than I am with, say the basic package that doesn't need as much. So hopefully that kind of answers the question.
Yeah. And how many clients do you need on, and these are monthly recurring payments, correct?
They are.
Yeah.
So I jumped on that whole train kind of before it got popular, because before I started doing this, Adobe hadn't really started doing that yet either. They haven't switched. And you see Microsoft doing it now. It's before that whole subscription-based model was kind of huge, and it's been big for me. I mean, a lot of my friends were like, $25 a month, $50 a month, what's that going to do? How are you going to make a living off of that? But that was 2 years ago. I've added, 50, 60 clients, and at that rate, it starts to add up.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing this on the side, not doing it full time. So, it's been a big value add to me, but also to the clients that I work with too.
And you mentioned that the time that this takes once it's set up, I mean, obviously it's always going to take time when you're answering emails and phone calls and texts and things like that. But on the whole, or on average, how much time a day or week do you spend doing this support work, doing this website maintenance?
I mentioned Main WP. They've been huge for me as far as the maintenance, the ongoing maintenance. Mm-hmm. So that cut back a lot once I installed that. But as far as, responding and answering emails and phone calls, it's maybe a couple hours a month. It's really not that bad. I mean, of course, it just depends on who your client base is. I mean, some people can be a real pain in the ass. But, I mean, I've been lucky. I've been super lucky in that. And I guess, for me, it's all about, when they first approached me too about wanting my services, I can kind of get a good sense for whether or not they're going to be a good fit for me, in addition to, you know, vice versa.
Having worked in customer service a long time, you've probably got a pretty keen sense for who's going to be a problem customer.
And those old psychology classes back in college kind of paid off too. Just kind of knowing some people and kind of knowing what, you know, knowing where that's headed, you know, before it gets started.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not long ago, we published an article on the Elegant Themes blog called 10 Essentials of Brand Enhancing Customer Support. I was hoping to maybe read off a few of those main points and have you speak to each one with some of the thoughts or lessons that you've learned along those lines. Sure. The first one's called Make It Easy to Reach You. How important is that and what does it look like in your business?
Yeah, that's evolved a little bit for me. I used to just publish my cell phone down there at the bottom of the screen on the website, and then it got a little crazy, and people were bugging me during supper and while I was reading books to the kids, so that didn't work out too well. So I went and got a Google Voice number just as a nice way to screen, you know, clients. And there's probably other things out there that do the same thing. But for me, it's been kind of very simple, you know, just setting up the email and kind of routing it in its own little place. Same way for phone calls, that kind of thing. That way I can get to them on my time as opposed to, you know, being interrupted all throughout the day.
What are some steps that anyone listening right now who's interested in being more reachable, what are some things that they can do for their clients and customers?
Yeah, well, honestly, just kind of getting yourself out there, just letting them know that you're available. People love to hear that, and they don't hear it a lot. You know, customer support, service, good service, that kind of thing is just not something that a lot of people market. So if you don't have it on your site that, you know, you will provide support or however you want to phrase it. I mean, it looks different for everybody. But I put it right on the site, you know, that I'm offering this and I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to be good at it. So, I mean, like I said, it looks differently for everybody, but just putting it out there for people to see.
And at a certain stage,
they'll ask you about it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they will. And you kind of touched on it there a second ago. You said you're going to prove to them that this is something you can do. At the end of the day, does it kind of boil down to that? Do you just have to go decide, like, I am going to offer killer customer support, and even if I don't really want to do something at a certain time, I'm just going to make sure it gets done?
Absolutely. I mean, you just got to do it. Yeah, it's really quite simple. I mean, I actually worked with and just to give a good example, me and SJ kind of worked together on a project this past summer, and this guy, super nice guy, but he came from an agency that promised him the moon, that he couldn't ever get a hold of the company to fix problems, just simple things that would take no time at all to fix. But this guy came to us and was like, guys, please help me with this. You know, will you just respond to my email? Let me know that you're going to do it. And He got an email. He got a phone call from me within, you know, 5-10 minutes of the time that he emailed us, and it just blew him away that I would take the time out of my schedule to contact him right away and respond. People just want you to respond, so it's just, I mean, if you do it, you're going to blow people's mind. It's really kind of simple.
That's actually one of our other points here. I'll get to in just a second. Number two is have knowledgeable reps. This seems like a no-brainer, but it's difficult too because very few people are actually experts in all things WordPress. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? How do you navigate that kind of sort of minefield of different topics that you may or may not be an expert in that people are going to need help with?
Well, it kind of boils down to, at least for me, kind of developing that sense of community. And, you know, the Divi Facebook groups have been awesome for that. We've got several groups going now. It's kind of hard to keep track of, but creating kind of just a core group of people that are experts in different things that you can go to for help on any particular thing. I mean, SJ's got a JavaScript guy that I use, Mark Hughes, I believe. And so he's my kind of default JavaScript guy now when I have JavaScript questions. I've got another guy that loves to build WordPress stuff from scratch, so he's done it all over the years. Mm-hmm. So you just set up yourself, you know, surround yourself with a community of people that are experts in other things that you're not.
Yeah.
And for me, I took it a step further and partnered with a lot of them.
That's what I was going to be my next question is how do you manage that? Because if you're constantly going to the community and particularly very specific people with highly technical questions, there at some point they're going to be like, okay, well, I really want to be your buddy and help you out, but you could also maybe like throw me some cash from time to time.
Oh yeah. Well, and I do. I do. A lot of times when I partner actually on a project, it's a back and forth mutual mm-hmm. agreement type thing where, you know, we're splitting the cost of the project. That's what SJ and I did on this past one this summer. So we let him kind of handle some of the him and Mark do the JavaScript stuff, and he actually wound up just redoing the whole site. And so it was a value add for both of us.
I guess I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say that, as far as, offering or just trying to get support from other people, it's just kind of a back and forth type thing. I help people out a lot too on CSS related things. I've kind of gotten to know CSS pretty good over the years. So it's just kind of a back and forth, just mm-hmm. developing that sense of community, you kind of just help and share with each other.
And you mentioned that you split project costs with people. What happens if, say, you're offering the support and maintenance for a website, someone's using their $50, $100 a month subscription to ask you questions? How do you then go about going, well, that's out of my range of expertise. I need to bring someone else in. That seems like it might be a bit harder to share those costs. How do you manage that? Yeah.
Well, honestly, for me, I have a very specific kind of target market I go after. So I haven't had to go beyond what I'm capable of too much. I did with some of the JavaScript stuff, but it hasn't happened for me too much because I kind of filter out a lot of the people that are coming to me needing support. And I really, kind of get the details of what this project is going to, include. And if it's something that's a little bit beyond the scope, from the get-go, I'll partner with somebody and we'll split the cost on something. But it's, like I said, I'm trying to filter out a lot of that stuff. So if I can't, mm-hmm. if it's a project that's well beyond my scope or reach, I'm just going to pass it off completely to, SJ or Gino or whoever, And I've done that quite a bit here recently with SJ. There's been some stuff that either I don't have the time to do or it's just a little bit beyond, since he does have a JavaScript guy on hand, just go ahead and let him do it. And, mm-hmm. We'll kind of share the workload there.
That's cool. That's very cool. So the third one, which we kind of already talked about, was respond in a timely manner. And you shared your story. And I guess I'll just give that a big affirmative on my end, too, because even as someone who is in the social media for Elegant Themes a lot, responding to people, nothing seems to make people feel angry or undervalued quicker than a slow response time. And, just to reiterate what you said earlier, I think that's definitely something that really is appreciated, it's valued, and if it's not there, can actually start to hurt you pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what I've seen. I mean, I had, a client today contact me, and, it was one of those situations where there's just a lack of communication, I guess, with whoever I handed off the project to, no fault of their own or anything. It's just one of those things, even if you pass the project off to somebody else, you still kind of have to own that client and mm-hmm. make sure you're responsible for the success of that project, whatever it is.
Yeah. So the next one is preempt common problems. And I suppose this might be as simple as providing useful FAQs or forums or documentation, but that's not exactly a personal touch and it may not cover everything. So I'm wondering if that's something that you try to do. Are there ways that you try to preemptively deal with common issues in a way that leaves people feeling taken care of?
Yeah, and that's something that I need to do a better job at because I have so much going on that I haven't taken the time to work on my own site to mm-hmm. add those FAQ type things. So for me, honestly, it's been a matter, very rudimentary stuff here, but just responding to emails whenever they have questions, that kind of thing. I need to add my own FAQ section. Obviously, that would be helpful of being able to respond to some of those common questions and issues. But, you know, it's going to be different for every project. Not everybody has the same scope or same you know, thing going on. So, but yeah, that's one thing I do need to prove on myself, is just kind of creating that own FAQ section for, so I don't have to spend so much time responding to emails, that kind of thing. But for me, it's been, you know, a more personal touch is creating videos, like how to videos.
I was going to say, that's one of the things I noticed in your support was, you know, some help, not necessarily documentation, but it was like courses, I think you said, or training, basic training.
Yeah, we will do join.me is a free resource that, well, it's free and you can pay for it too, but just to do a screen share and actually walk through their site together and explain how to update content within Divi. It's not hard. I mean, I could probably do just one video to show them how to use Divi, but it makes it just a personal, you know, personal touch when you go through their site, show them what it looks like on the front end and how to update it up from the back end and see the changes. And I mean, I'm dealing, like I said, my client base is very simple. They may not be tech savvy. So I'm spending a lot of time, you know, on very simple stuff, but just, you know, going through their own site. So it looks the exact, you know, exact same when they go in and log in, you know, as opposed to, you know, showing them somebody else's. It's a personal touch to see their stuff and those little modules and to know where they can update it. So that's been huge since I've been doing that.
That's awesome. And it seems like if you're able to do that well enough, you're actually, like the point says, you're preempting them coming back and taking up more time later on because you've thoroughly dealt with their issue in a way that empowers them to take care of it themselves in the future.
Right. And it's been cool since I have done those, you know, screen shares, I haven't seen as many of the basic questions. So it has, you know, saved a lot of my time, you know, with some of those basic things.
That's cool. That's really cool. Well, there's quite a few more in that article. There's actually six more points that we could talk about, but I think we're starting to get close to the end of our time limit on the interview. And at the end of each interview, I like to do something called the parting thought. And it's where I ask you as the Divi Nation guest host to leave us with some thought that encapsulates your take on our primary topic. And I'll set you up with a question so that make that a little bit easier.
Okay.
Today's topic has been creating a customer care centered business. So my final question, Nathan, is this. After looking through your website, the services you offer, and talking with you, it seems like great customer care is probably best described as a philosophy or a foundation that the rest of your business can be built upon, not necessarily something that is easily tacked on or outsourced to an existing business. If that's the case, and feel free to disagree with that, but if that's the case, how would someone go about, someone not currently focused on fully integrated customer care, how would they start down that path?
Well, you kind of just have to start with, you know, is this my thing? You know, can I offer this? I mean, do I like providing support? I mean, if the answer is no, then obviously that's not your niche. So partner with somebody that maybe, you know, that is their thing and tack on to that. And, but you know, honestly for me, it just kind of, like I said, it was a natural progression for me, but if it's not, I mean, like I said, partner with somebody and, you know, find a way to offer it because there's a lot of value there and your customers need it. Mm. I mean, you can't, if you're just one of those smash and grab website designers, I mean, they're going to be coming back to you after the fact and you're going to have more work, you know, create more work for yourself if it's not something that you're offering from the start. So, I mean, if you offer it, you got to make sure you do it right because that'll backfire too if you don't, going back to that whole reputation thing. Yeah. So hopefully that kind of answers the question a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Nathan, I really appreciate you coming on Divi Nation and I hope to see you around the community.
All right. Thanks, Nathan, for having me.
I'd like to extend one more big thank you to Nathan Duvall for coming on the show. Sometimes after recording an interview, the guest and myself will continue to hang out and talk for a while. Nathan and I did that, and in the course of our extended conversation, he mentioned to me that he actually had a few more things he wanted to share with the community. These were lessons that he'd learned about getting started, branding himself in a meaningful way, and building the necessary confidence to succeed. I thought you guys might like to hear what he had to say, so I've included a little bonus clip in this week's episode. Check it out.
I, you know, when I first got started, I was so nervous about getting any of my things out there. You know, I was worried about what people would think. You know, I was afraid of failure.
Not being expert enough.
Gosh, yeah. And I still struggle with that. I mean, like I said, doing this is not my thing, but mm-hmm. you got to get yourself out there if you're going to get off the sidelines, and you got to put yourself out of that comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing in getting started. And, you know, the next one was kind of about being personable and, you know, relatable. I started that with this whole Gruffy Goat thing. It was just a very natural flow for me to even name my company after something that meant a lot to me, you know, that I was kind of passionate about. You know, it's related to my family, that kind of thing. A lot of people ask me, you know, where you came up with a name and how do I do something like that? You know, and I try to tell them, you know, to, you know, look around them and, you know, see, you know, where they live or something that's important to them, maybe a family member, you know, do something that's more than just a cool logo.
Right.
An available domain name. A lot of people start their companies out of what's available on GoDaddy. You know, don't do that. Find something that's valuable to you, and you know, it'll make all the difference in the world too, as far as marketing your business. Mm-hmm. If you got some value in there, and you know, it's gonna come across to your customers too. And so those are just a couple of things.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, finding your niche. That was my other one. You know, mine's support. Maybe somebody else, it's design and development. I was a guy that tried to do everything. Mm. You know, I tried to make it all work, and it didn't. I failed, and I was struggling, and I was frustrated because I couldn't figure it out. I was comparing myself to the dribble experts out there. And even in our own community, we've got some rock stars like Melissa Love and Gino. You got people like that. They're just popping stuff out every day. And I'm like, but I can't, I can't compare myself to that because, yeah, I got a 9-to-5. I've got two kids. Yeah. I mean, they got kids too. I'm not saying they don't. But I mean, but they're doing it full time and I'm not. And it's just different, you know, so that's not my niche and I can't compare myself. Yeah. You know,
and you have your own strengths. I mean, I think that's another thing to continually reaffirm in yourself and that everybody can reaffirm in themselves is that, you know, you're going to be strongest where you're strongest, and comparing yourself to other businesses or other individuals, that's not going to help you be better at what you do. it's only going to mess with your confidence.
Exactly. Well, that was my other one, was finding confidence in what you do. I mean, just go all out. I mean, once you find what your thing is, I mean, go for it, put it out there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's going to translate well to your customers too. And it has for mine. I mean, you wouldn't think support something that simple would be that big of a deal, but I mean, it has built my company into what it is. I mean, it's not something I feel comfortable even switching to full time yet, but it's almost there. I mean, it's rivaling pretty quickly here. So I mean, it's forcing me to make decisions that I didn't think I was ever going to have to make. I mean, because I was very comfortable in the 9-to-5, and I mean, it's a very, like I was telling you the other day, it was very flexible. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys are awesome in working with me in my freelance schedule and my family and everything else. So it's a very hard thing to leave. But it's forcing me to come to grips with those decisions and those hard things. But it's all been about finding my niche, what I'm good at, and just doing doing that the best I can. So,
yeah, I mean, that was really the spark of the whole episode for me as far as the theme is just the fact that, you know, here's someone who, I mean, I mentioned this at the top of the episode, is we've had designers, we've had developers, we have people who are like, I build web stuff and I specialize in those things. Whereas you're saying,
I don't build websites.
Yeah. You're like, I run a web design company and I don't do websites. It's like, wait, what? But it's like, it's working. It's working because you've embraced it and you've made, you know, your specialty sort of like the special sauce in every other part of what, you know, what you offer. And that's awesome.
After talking with Nathan, I had a thought. In the 8 episodes of Divination so far, I've noticed a pattern that connects all of those who are having success with WordPress and Divi. Each and every one of them has found a way to align not only their business, but their personal responsibilities inside of that business with their personal strengths. I know it sounds like sort of a duh assessment to make, but over the years, I found myself in the position where there's something I'd like to do or there's something I'd like to accomplish, and over again, I put it off or I avoid it because it involves something I'm not particularly good at. Sure, I could learn yet another new skill set, but I think at a certain point in life, it's okay to step back and say, you know what, I've picked my specialty.
I know what I'm good at and what I want to focus on. And instead of broadening your skill set, you just dive deeper and get better at what you do best. And for everything else, you hire, partner with, contract, or do whatever you got to do to get the job done. That's been something that every single guest on Divination so far has done to one extent or another, and I thought it worth pointing out. So if you have any thoughts on that, I'd love to hear what you have to say in the comments. Okay, moving on. We've got two more segments in today's show, and I'm excited to share them with you. First up, we've got another edition of Divi Quick Tip. In it, I'm going to show you how to hide specific modules and sections on mobile. After that, we've got a big product update to announce. Let's get into it. In this Divi Quick Tip, I'm going to show you how to hide specific modules or sections on the mobile version of your website. There are a lot of reasons why you may want to do this, but the biggest one is probably to keep things as simple and uncluttered as possible for mobile visitors. If that sounds like something you're interested in, here's how to do it. Navigate in your WordPress admin to Divi Theme Options. This is your ePanel. Scroll down to the bottom where the custom CSS panel is and enter this small bit of code, then click Save. It's that simple, just two lines of code, which you can find in the accompanying blog post for this episode. What this little bit of code does is create a CSS class that you can apply to any module or section in the Divi Builder, like this. Navigate to the module or section you'd like to hide when viewing your site on a mobile device. Open it up and scroll to the bottom where there is a text box called CSS class. In that text box, type, in lowercase letters, hide-mobile. Click Save and close. Now update your poster page and check out the results. You should now have a section or module that is hidden when you view your site on mobile devices. And this will work over and over again for any section or module. Once you've added those two lines of code to the ePanel, all you have to do is type in hide-mobile in the CSS class of any section or module to achieve this effect. That's all for this Divi Quick Tip. If you have a quick tip request that you'd like me to cover in a future episode, you can submit your requests, well, any way you'd like. YouTube comment, Facebook comment, Twitter mention, blog comment, or by email at podcast@elegantthemes.com with the subject line, Divi Quick Tip Request. Up next, a product update you've all been waiting for. As many of you probably already know, we have now officially launched the Divi Builder plugin. This is significant for a few reasons. The Divi Builder plugin allows you to extend the awesome power of the Divi Themes Builder to any WordPress theme, not just the other 86 elegant themes, but any WordPress theme. This means that you can now use Divi on every project with every client, no matter what theme is already in play. And the Divi Builder plugin comes with all of the amazing features that have made the Divi theme so amazing. Unlimited drag and drop layout possibilities, no coding required, but plenty of room for developers and designers to get creative with code if they choose to. Over 40 content modules, 30 pre-made layouts for lightning fast setup, the Divi Builder library, which allows you to save layouts, modules, and collections of modules for later use. And with that import/export feature, that means for later use on any Divi project. Global builder elements, advanced user roles, the ability to lock items to prevent clients and other users from editing them, copy and paste, undo and redo, live preview across device types, and so much more. If you've got a developer or lifetime account with Elegant Themes, then visit your download section today and take the Divi Builder plugin for a spin. Well, that's all for this edition of Divi Nation. Next week on the podcast, I sit down with Marie Poulin to talk about how you can provide more value to your clients and put more money in your pocket by transitioning from designer to digital strategist.
I think you hit a bit of a cap at some point with design. Like there's a perceived value for someone to pay for a web design, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, a client doesn't really just want a web design. They don't want even just a website. What they want is a business that works better because you work together, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that could mean a number of things for different people.
That concludes our show for this week. See you next time.